Morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. I was glad to know that you are watching with us this morning, that you are celebrating the wonderful resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen some videos. Some of those all of them have been recorded. This is the only thing you're seeing live. So in case you didn't pick it up on Friday night, in case you weren't watching on Friday night, I just want to let you know that those things that you've seen previous to now were recorded, and this is the only thing live. That's to keep everyone safe, just so you know. Everyone is not here right now. So I thank all those who made that possible. Today we celebrate the resurrection. Today is a significant day in the Christian history. It is the most, along with the cross, is the most significant time, the pivotal time. The time that gives us an understanding of what Christianity is all about. It's not just a religion. It's not just following this guy. It's this. It's the essence, the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today I'm hoping that you will be able to grasp something here today that will encourage you, that will bless you, that will show you the victory that we celebrate. I'm hoping today that you'll be able to grab a hold of what the essence is of this day we celebrate, Resurrection Sunday. You know, there are many proofs that the resurrection happened, many historical proofs. Lee Strobel wrote a book on that, The Case for Christ. He went out to prove his wife was a little bit off a rocker, he thought, and he ended up, as a journalist, he ended up proving that she was She was right in her assumption that Christ, the Christianity is real. And there are many proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are many other scholars who wrote things proving that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. There are many reasons to believe this. And not just by faith in our hearts, but just practical things, historical truths. There's also the eyewitnesses that are mentioned in the Bible. Hundreds of eyewitnesses, perhaps thousands of eyewitnesses, seen Jesus and walked the earth after he died and was in the tomb and was resurrected. Just so we would know. But I suppose the greatest proof is this: the change in people's lives. I experienced this personally. The change in people's lives, the power of the resurrection, even in my life today and many others, thousands of others around the world. I think that would probably be the greatest proof. Not only individual lives, but whole cultures. Whole cultures have changed throughout the centuries because of this one event. Just to show that there's power that raised Jesus from the dead is still active today. God is still active today, transforming lives. Not because someone's got their life straightened out, but because God is doing a work inwardly in them. And so I just wanted to point that out to you. Today I'm not going to talk about the proofs of the resurrection. That's not what I want to talk to you about. Today I'm not going to even talk about the events that happened leading up to the resurrection. I'm not going to do that either. Today is a day that I would like to be able to allow you to look at the resurrection and be able to experience and understand the true victory that we have. That you will be able to live it out every day in your lives, regardless of the circumstances. That Jesus Christ has conquered the greatest enemy that we as human in our physical beings could seem to have coming against us. And that's death itself. He's conquered hell, sin, and death. But when we look at the essence of where we are today, one of the greatest threats we have is when our life ends. And maybe if you're young, you don't think about that very often. Maybe you do. But I want you to understand that Christ offers victory in your life, and that's what we celebrate today. He offers victory in our life. So I want you to hang in there. In a few moments, I'm going to list nine things. Specifically, there's some other things within those nine things, but some nine things that will help you understand the why and the how we can live in victory, even though we face death. Isn't that cool? I mean, come on now, you're going to hear the most powerful thing that you could ever experience here today. Stay tuned. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to the hope that the Bible offers. Listen to the hope that the resurrection offers. It is amazing. It is amazing. And after we're done the message, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table, just as of a remembrance of that. And we'll talk about that towards the end. But for now, I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to spend most of the time there this morning, although we're going to look at a few other scriptures. But within the confines of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where I'm going to spend the time. We're going to move around throughout it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to it. I hope you have your coffee. I hope you're settled down. I hope you're ready. Okay? We're going to look at some wonderful truths. These are blessing my heart. And so on. Some wonderful truths. Now, first of all, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Because the thing is that we need to understand the importance of the resurrection. The importance of the resurrection. Why is it so important to us as Christians? In 1 Corinthians 15, 17, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." See the problem there? If the resurrection didn't happen, it's not just a cross. If the resurrection didn't happen, then our faith is futile. Christianity is just a big farce. But it did happen. It did happen. It did happen. Trust me, it did happen. And the transforms lives, like I said, are proof of that. And the many other proofs that go along with that. So that's the main reason why there's an importance in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we stand firm in what we believe. Do you see that? Do you see the absolute importance in it? This morning I want us to look at the attitude of a Christian, those who have trusted in Christ, in the victory and the hope that we have, even in the face of death. Okay? I want you to be assured, okay? I want you to be able to grab a hold of that, because we struggle with this. Let me ask you something. Do you walk in a way that is victorious over hell, sin, and death? Do you walk in that way? Are these concerns of you in your life, do you walk in a way that you are victorious? Is not the very essence of Christianity, of what Christ paid for, that we could have victory over that? That we could have victory over death? Isn't that the very essence of what we stand for, of what we celebrate every day, not just today? Isn't it? Isn't this the joy that we celebrate? That there's more beyond the grave, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the victory in Christianity. That is the true hope that we hold. And that's why today is so significant. It seems that many Christians around the world, and many believe this, and I understand if you're new in your faith and you have to grow into this understanding, but many Christians, they have no problem believing that they're forgiven. They have no problem believing even that they're going to heaven. But it seems so often that many struggle with this concept or this fear of death. Many struggle with that. And I'm hoping to alleviate some of that fear today. I'm hoping to take some of that away with the truths of Scripture, that you can live a life not in fear of death, but understanding that you have victory over it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, I got 9 things I want to list here. So, if you have a pen and a paper, you might want to write them down, because they'll help you in your everyday life. Even if you're not scared of death, they'll help you walk in this life victorious. Number one, the Bible alludes to the fact that we don't just, and this is the smallest part of this whole message here, but it's significant. The Bible alludes to the idea that there is no consciousness between death and eternity. There's no consciousness. The Bible even refers to it in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul even refers to it as sleep. Sleep. What's that saying to you? It's saying to you that you're absent with the body and you're present with the Lord, that we're our consciousness is when we leave this world as if we were with Him. Isn't that a great joy? There is no sting. There is no presence of death in our lives. We do die, but it's like we've fallen asleep and we're present with the Lord. That's got to be good to you, doesn't it? Doesn't that make you feel good? Not good about death, but give you a sense of peace and rest that you will sleep. You will sleep. There's not any consciousness in between those. It doesn't speak of any consciousness between dying and being with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Listen, I tell you a mystery, Paul says. We will not all sleep, but we will be all changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Now Paul's talking about those who are alive when Christ comes, but he also mentions in that the dead will be sleeping. So I just want you to take comfort in that, okay? Now number two is, the body that we now have is riddled with sin, right? It's riddled with sin. We struggle with this. We know that we're saved from it, but our bodies are still riddled with it. We are still in the perishable. We're still in the things that are fading away. Our body doesn't last. It doesn't last. So the thing that we need to understand is that in order for us to have the imperishable, the order for us to have the eternal, we need to have the old put off, the perishable put off. Isn't that our hope? Isn't that what we hope for? That one day we will enter into eternity? One day that we will face Jesus? We'll spend eternity with Jesus? So when we, right now, we can look at our lives, we can know that they will perish. Our bodies will perish. We don't know. Today, tomorrow, 100 years, I don't know. But we know that it won't last. But we have this hope. Our new body will not perish. Our new body will last for all eternity. Our new body is not like the body we have now. So we look forward to that day. We look forward to the day that we will spend forever with Jesus Christ. We look forward. Now I'm gonna make some disclaimers there about getting there too fast, but I want you to know that there's a perishable and an imperishable, and what Jesus Christ paid for is the imperishable. We will one day spend eternity with Him. So we're putting off these bodies that are prone to sin, that are riddled with sin. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? It is then that we look at back and we say, okay, this is better now. This is better now. I know we get kind of scared where we're at getting there, but the Bible assures us, Jesus assures us, it's better for us. The resurrection proves that we have eternal life. You got to be a little bit excited about that. What do you hope for? What do you hope for if it's not for that? I love and just skipping a verse, going to 57. But thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have victory for this reason? Do you have victory in your life? Number three, we reach a limit in our present state. We reach a limit. Jesus said to us, referring to his own body, you know, when he was living on earth and before the resurrection, he said this, is referring to his own body, is a mere seed sown to eternal life. Unless the seed dies, it can't grow. Right? Unless the seed dies, it can't grow. John 12:23-25. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." You hear that? "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. For anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now, I don't have time to explain that part of the passage about hating your life in this world, but let's just put it this way. It's talking about hating the things that in this world that oppose God. That's basically it. If you love those things, if you hate those things, then you have eternal life. Right? That's basically it. There's a lot more to it than that, but we won't go there this morning. We don't have time. So the model of the seed dying, do you see that? Can you picture that? You know what a seed looks like? It's one body, right? The seed looks like this, or whatever the seed looks like, but it has to die first. And what comes from that is a new body, something that doesn't look like the seed at all. And this is what Jesus is saying had to happen to him. He says, unless I die, I will not be glorified. And then he goes on to say, I'm the seed that produces many seeds. And Paul carries on with this thought of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15 again. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 15, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed. Just a seed when we sow. We are hoping for the eternal. The fourth thing I want you to look at, this is cool. Jesus already led the way, right? Jesus already led the way. The same Christ who died for our sins, who died upon the cross, has already led the way. His resurrection was the assurance to us that this is how we will follow, right? This is how we follow. He already led the way. He even showed up to show us, okay, this is how it's going to happen. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who trust in me will be raised to eternal life. You will die, but one day you will be raised to life. The hope that we have in the resurrection is essentially this, that we will be raised with Christ. That's got to be exciting to you. I know it is to me. That proof, the resurrection is proof of my eternal life because of my faith in Jesus Christ. John 14 talks about as Jesus talking about this in a different way. Pay attention. You've probably heard this verse at funerals. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to add this. Do not fear death. Okay. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me, Jesus says. Believe in him. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. You hear that? You hear that? Jesus is reassuring those who follow him ahead of time. Don't worry. Don't be scared. I know you're going to face death. I know you're going to face these things one day. But don't worry, I'm going ahead of you. I'm going ahead of you. You know, have you ever done that with your children? You kind of reassure them. Say, look, if they're scared of something, you say, look, I'm doing it. I've done this. Look, it doesn't taste that bad. Have you ever done that? Jesus is essentially telling his followers, listen, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You believe in God, believe in me. Believe in me. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you believe that? I hope that gives you a sense of peace in your heart, a sense of hope in your heart. Because in Christ, death has lost its sting. The emphasis is do not be afraid. Jesus says this often. Number five, these earthly bodies are still prone to sin, aren't they? Now, sin is the very thing that rebels against God. We should despise it. Do you despise it as a Christian? Don't you hate the sin that you fall into? Paul talked about that in Romans 7. You know, don't you hate the sin that keeps corrupting the flesh that you have? You live in these temporary bodies, but still the sin is still there. It's like the after effects of that still cling to you, even though you're saved. It's the very thing that rebels against your new nature. It's the very thing that rebels against your holy God. Don't you long for that to be gone? Now, I'm not saying hoping to die. I'm just saying that our hope is in eternity where that will be no more. You won't struggle with sin anymore. You won't struggle with rebelling against our Lord. I love how the King James puts this, verse 53, where he talks about the perishable. King James says, "For this the corruptible must be put on incorruption. The corruptible must put on incorruption." We don't want the things that rebel against God anymore in our lives. And this is one of the things, one of the victories we celebrate with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we know one day that won't be the case. One day sin will not be no longer. There will be perfect peace between God and I. There's perfect peace in our heart. We're there, not yet. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But we have this perfect peace in our heart. But one day, there's not even going to be a remnant of sin at all. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's our hope in the resurrection. That's what we hope for. That's what we long for. I hope that's what you long for. And the sixth thing I have here, the ultimate fear in death for non-Christians is judgment, isn't it? Or it should be. It should be. For non-Christians, those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, is for every man to die once and then the judgment. It should be the ultimate fear. It really should be. But for Christians, now I'm just going to give you some peace here. For Christians, that's nothing. It's nothing. It's gone. It's taken care of. It's not a thing anymore. You have been justified. The wrath of God has been satisfied in Christ, and we have been justified in Christ. You got to grab a hold of that. There should not be any fear in death because there's no judgment in death. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Grab a hold of that. That's the joy of our resurrection. Romans 6:23, a famous verse. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number 7. Those in Christ, in their physical bodies, are at a place where we've received the promise. We've even received the inheritance. We received the Spirit of God, but we not yet fully reached glory. We're there, but not yet. Theologians call it here, not yet, or something like that. It goes. We've received it, but we haven't fully received the glory, right? So what is it to hang on to something, hang back, holding back, hanging on to something that holds you back from receiving full glory? What does that mean to you? Think about it. Why would we cling to something where we don't receive the presence, the full presence of Jesus Christ? What would we cling to that? Why would we hang on to that? Why would we desire that more than a promise? We can fully trust. Hanging on to the world is saying, God, I know what you say, but I'm having a hard time trusting that what you promised me is better than what I have now. You hear that? That's basically hanging on to the world is saying, God, I know what you're saying. I know eternal life is there, but I'm having a hard time really trusting that what you promised me in eternity is better than what I have right now. See a problem with that? Colossians 3:2-3. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, we really already died to the things of this world if you're in Christ. You don't live for these things anymore. You live for eternity. Your eyes are on Christ. Your eyes are on Him. Your eyes are on the eternal things, not the temporary things. John Calvin says, it is not wrong for us to love the world. Get this. It's not wrong for us to love the world as long as we do it as pilgrims. Don't you love that? In other words, it's okay to love the world and love your life. It is a gift of God. But don't do it like this is all you want. Do it as one passing through. Don't do it like this is your home. This is not your home. This is not your home. Remember, Jesus is preparing a place for you. Right? If you are in Christ, this is not your home. We need to live like we're passing through. We need to live like we're passing through. This is the great thing that the resurrection gives us. This life is going to It's going to be gone one day. It doesn't matter who we are. But live life like this is not our home. And we shouldn't treat it like our home. We should treat it eternal. I mean, we love the people. We love the life that God has given us. But this isn't the great hope that we have. This isn't what the resurrection bought for us. Number 8, the resurrection means that not only will my very soul have no rebellion against the Creator, but get this, not only will my soul not rebel anymore against the Creator, no longer will I not only struggle with sin, but I won't struggle with the sufferings of sin. That means there be no more pain or no anger or no suffering forever and ever. There will be no more of that. This is what the resurrection means to us. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more anger. Those things that you struggle with, that sinful nature you struggle with. Most people have heard this, Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. This is what we celebrate today in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that eternal hope that one day, none of these things that bother us, that cause us suffering in this world, will be no more because of the eternal hope. Who wants to hang on to that stuff? I know I don't. Knowing, that's one. Our desires hang on to the world inintentionally or unintentionally. And what they do is they take what Christ has done and bought for us. When we hang on to the world too tightly, when we hang on to this temporary life too tightly, we're looking at what Christ did upon the cross and the cost of it and the resurrection. And we're looking at it as if it's not worth it. See what I'm saying? What did Christ die for? What did he suffer for? What did he go through that for? It is that we could have eternal hope, not this world, not the things of this world, not to hang on tightly to the things of this world. It is Christ we long for. See, here we have the Holy Spirit. But one day we will be with Christ forever, face to face. We will be in close fellowship with him. We're going to look at that a little bit at the Lord's table here in a few moments. Augustine said, Christ is not valued at all unless he is valued above all. He's not valued at all unless he's valued above all. Don't put the things of this world ahead of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't do that. This is where our hope is. It's in him. It's in him. Trust me, it's better. We've not experienced it yet, but we get to hold true to his promises. That it is better. It is better. Our eternity is better. What does it mean in our present life? Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, this is his end to the thought. He's been talking about the resurrection, and this is the end of his thought here. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know that as a brother or sister in Christ, our focus is to live a life for Jesus Christ, to live a life to honor him, to glorify him, to do the work of the Lord. When death comes along, if death is the thing that bothers us the most, if it is, the Bible tells us that, you know what, it's not something you need to be concerned about anymore. Christians, what is the difference between, let me ask you something here, what is the difference of how you view that, how you fear that from before you were a Christian? What's the difference? I hope the resurrection makes a difference in your life and how you live your life and the hope that you have in eternal life. I hope it does, because that is in essence what Christ done for us. That's why today means so much. That's why it means so much. The sting is gone. The sting is gone. We have no problem trusting Christ at the cross. Well, he's the same Christ of the empty tomb. He's the same Christ. You trust him there as well. You trust him there as well. I told you that I was going to talk about a little bit of a disclaimer here on our lives here. Don't get me wrong. It's not that we wish our lives to end. That's not what I'm saying. So please don't get that. Okay. I don't know who said it. I came across this quote or something like this quote, and I'm not exactly sure who said it, Calvin or Augustine or something. One of those old dead saints, anyway. And it was something like, we don't long to be naked. We only long to be dressed better. We don't long to be naked. We only long to be dressed better. We don't long to die. We just know that death has lost its sting and we won't fear it when it does come. Our eternal life has already started. And as we were here in this world, our emphasis needs to be on serving our God and giving him all we have and having no fear in death, having no fear in death. See, Paul was talking to the Corinthians who were under threat of death all the time because of their faith. And he's trying to reassure them that, you know what? You know what? I know the worst that can happen to you is death. Don't worry about it. If that's the worst they could do for you, Christ already conquered that for you. That's nothing to you now. If that's all you're worried about, don't have any worry about it, because it's lost its sting. It's done. The resurrection took care of that. Don't you know that? Don't worry about that. If that's all they can do to you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just serve God with all your heart. Serve him as you live in this life. Serve him with all that you have. I have one. And you know, this is so, I have a scripture here in a moment, but this is how big this was to Jesus to show us, okay? He comes back to life, okay? But he doesn't just ascend right into heaven right away. He spends 40 days on earth. 40 days showing himself to hundreds of people, perhaps thousands. He spent all this time with them, right? He spent all this time looking at, getting them to see him. They touched him. They ate with him. He's trying to show them that, you know what? It's conquered. Death is conquered. Here I am. And I'm leading the way. And one day you will be with me. And you will receive the resurrection as well. Trust me. Trust me. I'm proof that it's real. I'm proof I am who I said I am. I'm proof that you've been made righteous if you trust in me. I'm proof of all those things. You have victory in me. Don't fear what has already been conquered. It's already been conquered for you. Don't fear it. Don't look forward to it, but don't fear it. Don't fear it, because you will sleep and you will be with me, absent with the body, present with the Lord. You will be in victory forever and ever. You will have victory over hell, sin, and death. You already do. Daniel, going to the Old Testament. This is my last scripture. Daniel 12, 2 and 3. It's a prophecy of the end times. It says, when Jesus will come, it says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who are led lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You hear that? Everyone's going to rise. But only some will rise to righteousness. Some will rise to everlasting life. And some will rise to everlasting contempt and shame. My question for you is, where do you stand in that? Because those who will rise, this is going to put a little shudder in you, who rise and do not know Christ, have not been redeemed, have not trusted in him as their Lord and Savior, will rise and be on their own, and that's to everlasting contempt and shame. They'll be on their own. But those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and understand his redemption bought for them upon the cross will rise to everlasting life. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in that? You need to ask yourself that question. Because if you're not in Christ, you will face judgment. But if you are in Christ, the judgment has already been taken care of. That redemption, to pay for your and my sin, to remember that is important, to remember what he's done for us. It helps us walk with him and to look forward to one day when these bodies will be glorified and we will stand in his presence and we'll be with him forever and ever. And death has lost its sting. Look forward to that. That's what this day is all about. I hope that's what you're celebrating in your heart. But today, if you still, I almost want to offer up to you, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I ask you today just to get on your knees or whatever. That's how I done it. I just cried out, God, I am such a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I trust that you died on the cross. You took my sin debt in full and I just give my life over to you. I turn away from where I'm going. I was going. I turned away from that and I said, God, I can't get it straightened out. I've tried and I can't do it. I need you to help me. And then I just trusted in him as Lord and Savior and asked him to come into my life and save me. But I did. You know, however you word it and however you say it, that needs to be a condition of your heart, brokenness, and trusting in him as your Lord and Savior. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you didn't just leave us not knowing whether you raised or were raised. The ascension didn't just happen, but you showed up, showing us that you had victory, showing us that it worked, that it did what it was supposed to do, that we are righteous before you because of our faith in you. And Father, I pray that that truth would penetrate every heart of every listener and those who are surrounded them and those who will listen to this message in the future, God. I thank you for today and what it represents. Thank you, Lord, for each and every soul. In Jesus' name.